I think I've tested the loyalty of my fans to the extreme on a number of occasions, either through laziness or just going off into areas.
Yeah, well, let's go back to that. I mean, you spent a lot more time, you know, in the air than you did on the ground at one point.
Well, that coincided. I mean, I've always been interested in aeroplanes and I got my license fairly early on. But as the career started to take a dive, it's like the mid-80s.
A nosedive.
A nosedive, yeah. Hurl itself into the ground. So the flying thing, I've become an air display part. You do aerobatics and that all over the world. Well, Europe, actually, not the world. Yeah. And that was succeeding. So, you know, whereas you're losing all this sort of self-esteem and pride in what you're doing in one hand, you're kind of getting it back in the other.
Was the thrill at all analogous of being on stage and being in an aeroplane doing aerobatics?
I think the similarities is that you want to live life to the full.
Yeah.
You want to get as much out of it as possible. And that's part of the reason for moving to Los Angeles, funny enough. I didn't think I was doing that here anymore. So, you know, with the being in a band and touring and doing all that stuff, you know, it's very, very exciting, and you're living the life that most people dream of. With the flying, you're actually pushing life itself. You make a mistake there, you're going to die.
But you're a father with children.
Mm-hmm.
Did that come into the equation with the... I mean, I know being on stage is dangerous, but nothing like that.
No.
You might fall off and break your leg.
No, when the children came along...
Did that make a difference?
Yeah, I stopped.
Did you?
Yeah, when the children came along, I stopped aerobatic flying. And then I tried normal flying for a bit, and it's just so boring that once you've been an aerobatic display pilot, just go, you know, tooling around from A to B. And I just lost it. And also with kids, you haven't got the time that you had anymore to do it. You haven't got the money to do it that you had before, because that's all getting sucked away into other areas. So life just changes and you just have to adapt. One of the reasons I got depression, one of the reasons that this album took so long to make, the first 3 or 4 years I got massively depressed and was on medication for that. And part of that was losing the life that I had before. I missed the flying, I missed everything about the life I had before children, but I really loved the children and I was massively torn and guilt-ridden because of that. You know, I wanted a family and loved them desperately, but there was so much of what I had in life before that was now gone forever. And I really struggled. It took me too long to adapt to being a parent. I had a midlife crisis in the middle of it as well. All kinds of stuff went on.
Do you mind being able to talk about this stuff?
God, no. Why not, you know? I'm sure I'm not the only one it's happened to.
No, absolutely. But you're very candid about it, which is perhaps unusual for someone in your position. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
But, you know, these things happen. You know, the depression is an illness, the same as anything else, and you can fix it.
And were you aware of having it, though? Were you aware that that's what it was, or did it take some time to come to that realisation?
Yeah, it took a while. But I was, I really struggled for a year, maybe a year and a half. And then eventually, you know, got to such a state I'm crying in the middle of the street because I saw an old person walk past, and weird stuff went on. And then at that point, you begin to realise that clearly something's not quite right. But my wife's really pushed me to go to the doctors and talk about it. And that's when they said that this underlying depression is usually the root cause of all of these other things that are going on. So they start to treat you for that. And the first treatment didn't work. It made me worse than ever. And then they put me on something else and that started to work. And for a while, it's brilliant. But the trouble is, it zombies you out.
Yeah.
You don't care about anything. You know, you're kind of bumbling through life quite happily, but you're not the person you were. You don't want to work. You don't want to do anything. It's a really weird thing. And so there comes a point when the cure is just as bad.
To what degree, I'm no doctor, and this is a completely ridiculous sort of analysis, but to what degree would the sort of rush of endorphins or adrenaline or whatever that you get from flying, and maybe to some degree from being on stage, to what degree is either the lack of that or is that medicating in itself, if you see what I mean? Because it doesn't give you time to think of other things, does it?
No, I wonder. I wonder if that was something to do with it. You know, this life that I had before, that was fast and exciting and dangerous up to a point. And we're doing it every weekend, you know, just absolutely lived for it. And in between those weekends, everything else is pretty full on and great as well. You know, very exciting, just me and the wife doing whatever we like. And then all of a sudden, it's all gone. And then you're awake all night.
You're back down to earth, aren't you? With a bump.
It's in many ways, yeah. And it's very, very, very different. And I wonder if that was the trigger for it.